Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Kevin Carroll, the Army's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems. And joining us in our conversation is Brian Dixon.
Kevin, we've been talking about the importance of ITES, the Army's Enterprise Information Technology Initiative. I know it's early in the program, but do you have any lessons learned to date that you could share with us?
Yeah, Brian. The big thing that we learned was how important it was that the effort not be done in a vacuum, and that we really work as a partner with the Army CIO, which we did for the ITES program, NETCOM, which was recently stood up under the Army CIO as the network operators. They're basically going to be responsible for operating the network for the Army, for the whole Army, a big job. And we knew that whatever we would build as an acquisition organization, they would have to run. So it was very important that we brought them in with us early on and help us with the requirement, help us with the source selection, help us with the evaluation. So it was critical that we got their involvement with it, as well as the contracting organization. We used ITEC4, which is basically an information technology e-commerce group within the Army, and they really helped us get the contracting strategy put together and make things happen from the contract viewpoint. And then, of course, our relationship with CECOM, again, our engineering effort, the guys at Fort Huachuca who helped us write the requirements, really, and helped us get things going. So that was within the government very important that all the players be together through that process. And then another key part as we went through that was going out to industry as we developed pieces of what we were doing with our strategy and the requirements, and to really go out and get industry feedback back into that process so that we made sure, and we did modify our procurement strategy based on a lot of that kind of input, and that was really key to do. And so that helped us, I think, get the procurement tool put in place in a good manner, and help ensure that we got the right guys to do the job from a contractor perspective. And now our next step is to actually deliver the results and show that that vehicle will assist us in getting the program things we'd want done at an enterprise level completed.
Kevin, you're known within the Army and within DoD as a very strong proponent of performance-based contracting. Could you explain to us what this concept is and what are the benefits to the Army?
Well, thanks for that compliment. The truth is, in performance-based contracting, everyone's a pioneer, and there's very few settlers because it's a tough area to do. And we want to do it. We certainly have the motivation in our organization to do more performance-based efforts because we think it's rewarding to the contractor community. It's rewarding to us. Things get done faster for the soldier in that regard. So we are proponents of it. The definition of performance-based contracting is kind of all over the place. I mean, there's actually courses where everyone has a different definition, depending on who's teaching it, on what performance-based contracting means. But basically, it's risk, shifting risk over and letting control go to, that's the hard part for the government, control go to the industry to be able to deliver the results that we have. And it can be any type of contract. It can be a fixed price contract or seat management approaches, paper delivery or paper service kind of contracting. So there's a whole bunch of different ways of doing it, but none of that is as important as this idea of how do we allow the freedom for innovation, allow the freedom for delivery of the services so that industry can do its thing in the best business way that makes sense to do it. And then we, the government, can monitor those end results that we're looking for in order to ensure that we're getting and pay or not pay for those end results when they're contractually due. And so we really want to try to change the way we're doing that. I'd like to be able to tell you that we have tons of successes that I can point to. We've been learning. We've had some successes. We've had some failures on our contract mechanism using performance-based contracting techniques. And there's a lot of factors to what's successful and not. Part of it is the way the contract was written. Part of it was the government players involved, the government people involved. Part of it were the industry guys, how committed they were to really doing that. Were they willing to live up to it when they got in trouble, to what they committed to? All those things are factors that have, like I said, sometimes we've risen to the occasion and it's paid off, and sometimes it hasn't. So it's a very tough area, but we're committed to doing it in our program office, and we're going to continue to push to make that happen, and we believe to the benefit of all.
Kevin, what do you see as the future of your the business in combat support services area in the Army?
We believe we're a growing business. If we were in business, we know our revenues increased quite a lot over these last couple of years because we have more customers that are interested in doing enterprise things, and so. So what we see as critically important now is, which we mentioned before, was the joint flavor to everything we do. And I think that the combat service support areas are become more and more joint solutions. You know, the interoperability issue we talked about, all those are critical that we do that. So I think that's going to be a big push. We're going to continue the web basing and the commercialization of our products. And as you know, in the Army, and this is true in the Marines as well, less so in probably in the Navy and the Air Force, but we'll, you know, we always have to have the ability that we're not going to have communication. So we always have to have some ability to keep our functions going without comms, because when we're running somewhere like Baghdad, we're not always going to have communications on the move. Although that is a desire for us in the future to do that. So we have to do a little bit of design outside the normal commercial manner, but basically we want to be more commercial-like, web-based-like. And be able to use those systems. And I think that's going to grow across all those combat service support areas. The need for communications is going to continue to grow for our area. The Army is actually working right now in the Land Warrior Network effort that General Boutell has underway, working with the logistics community on a connecting the logistician program that will allow us the ability to get more communications out, not just to the logistician, but really to the medical community and the other CSS world. And that's an important area for us. We do want to be able to be on the move and have satellite communications. And I think that's going to be a big growth area in the future. And cross-functional integration. In other words, the logistics community, the personnel community, the finance community, the procurement community, they're under integrating within their stovepipe or within their community today. My job is to help our customers look actually beyond that and how they interrelate to each other, because they all take data from each other to do that job, and we don't want them recreating data. We want to have a single source for that data, and then have an integration occur across those platforms, and that'll be a big thing for us to get to that big issue where the data the soldier looks at is believable, is accurate data, timely to where it's data they believe that when we say part X is in that warehouse, it's actually in that warehouse. Or we say, like, we need people of a certain skill to come to Iraq to do something. We can find that soldier at camp such and such with our systems, because that reliability will be so high. And that's been a difficult challenge for us, because a lot of people don't believe the data. And like in logistics is a good example of this. People overorder only because they're not sure if what they looked at was right. And as we're tracking in transit visibility, as we're looking at parts coming in, which we've really done a lot better job, but a lot more to do on tracking parts coming into theater and being distributed within theater. We want the people looking at that data to believe it, that it's true, and we're getting there, but there's still more growth to occur within that community. So I think they're going to be the biggest things in the combat service support area, the jointness, the web-based and commercialization, and improving the cross-integration.
Kevin, you've had a very interesting career in the public service, and I'm curious, what advice would you give to someone interested in coming into government?
But working in the government's one of the most challenging things that can ever happen to a person. I mean, I spent my life basically in it, so I'm a little biased, but there's no place that I'm aware of, maybe a few companies, but there's no place where really if you come in to the federal government and you have energy and you want to do things, you'll be given authority to move out and go do things. I mean, we're looking for people to empower and to move. And you're working on a mission that's, you know, it's a mission focused on lives in the Army's case, but really throughout the government, be it GSA or HUD or wherever you might work. I mean, it's all focused towards service to the citizen. And I think you really can't have a better feeling for what you're doing and what you're contributing to for the nation. So it's very challenging. Plus, my experience has been it's fun. I mean, it's an enjoyable thing. You have good people that you work for. I've said always that you got to look for a job that you enjoy, where people trust you, and where you can move out and do things. And you'll move up pretty quickly. You never make the big dollars that a lot of people believe they make in industry. But But the fulfillment well makes up for that. And we still are a stable place to work. I mean, the federal government still, you know, there's a good and a bad to that. But the good to that from a perspective is it does provide you a baseline where you can grow from. And you don't have to necessarily worry about the stock market or other things that might trouble other employees in the industry. So I think it's a really good place to go. And I know we are always encouraged by people that want to come work in our organization.
Well, that'll have to be our last question because we're out of time. Brian and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes, and thank you very much for taking the time and doing this for me and my organization and the Army. And if you'd like to learn more about our organization, if you go to www.eis.army.mil, M-I-L, you can find out about our programs and the people that run our programs. And so thank you very much.
Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Kevin Carroll, the Army's Program Executive Officer for Enterprise Information Systems. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.